The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Low angle you talked about was kind of influenced when he was in California playing water polo. Look at this ball. Set deep to right field. All the way back and gone. First home run of the season for Jose Abreu as he hits one out to right field. The Astros lead this game 3-0.
Yes, the Astros lost 2 of 3 this weekend. It sucks. And it really sucks because a lot of good things happened this weekend for the Astros, including that on Saturday, Joe George. And here we are with the Astros 8 games below .500 and 7.5 games out in the AL West. And all we really can do at this moment in time is hope that it all comes together. But there were enough things that came together over the course of the weekend to actually say, well, this was good. Maybe it'll continue.
Yeah, I'm glad Jose Abreu didn't do what he did last year when he waited, you know, so long to get his first home run when he hit it in Oakland last year. And he like sprinted around the bases as possibly fast as he possibly could.
I think
could,
it was about this time of year. I want to say it was Memorial Day weekend.
I think so, too. It took a while.
I remember seeing it at Sporting Club on Washington. I'm like, oh, my God. God, Jose Abreu hit a home run.
Finally. So I'm glad he didn't do that. I mean, look, he's 3 for 15. Like, it's, but he got the home run. He's got a couple walks. So he's played a little bit better. Even some of the outs are positive for Jose Abreu. We're like, okay. There's real contact there. So I'm not like super pissed he's on the team right now. It's not the end of the world that Jose Abreu is an Astro at this moment.
He's 3 for 15 with an extra base hit and 6 strikeouts since his return. And in games following days off, he's 6 for 24 this year. In other games, he's 3 for 59. So maybe you play him every other game at most. But that's one of a bunch of developments over the weekend that are positive, which is why this team and the way that they're playing of late, per Joe Espada, really good. That's got Joe wanting to perhaps part ways with Espada.
So good.
ASAP. But some guys are playing well. Alex Bregman has 7 homers and 6 extra base hits over his last 20. 4 of those home runs have come in the last 6 games.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yordan Alvarez had 2 home runs on Saturday. It's his first multi-home run game since April 27th.
Also very good.
Framber Valdez had a no-hitter into the 7th inning on Saturday.
Well, he made it look like he made me look like an idiot. So,
a texter asked a little bit earlier the question: do you still want to trade Framber Valdez?
Yes, I do.
The value is definitely going up the way he's pitching of late. It's been more consistent than it was last year.
The thing with this team is they're making it harder and harder to not justify trading some real key pieces at the deadline. And having to look at this organization and say, okay, what are our plans for 2025? How do we want to get this thing back on track? Who are we going to re-sign? And then going into 2026, once Tucker and Framber are no longer on this team, like, or can you try to keep one of them? Do you want to keep both of them? Or how do you keep both of them if you want to? Like, what are your plans? Like, the Astros are driving the organization into some really, really tough conversations. And Fromber's a big part of that, because I'm not going to back down what I said after he went rogue and blew it up. I would move on from Fromber Valdez. Now, the developments, as we've been waiting for 2 weeks to get updates on Javier Nurkacz, they're probably going to be announced to have Tommy John on Thursday.
You think it's going to be probably Tommy John?
Yeah, at this point, like, they're having Tommy John.
So, for the sake of adding a little context, Dana Brown seemed a bit positive when asked about them over the weekend. Quote, "We'll know something probably by the end of the week, maybe Thursday or so, as to what direction we're going in. They're both feeling better, which is a good sign, but we're still getting second opinions from doctors." That's Dana Brown. Joe Espada on Friday, when asked if there would be an update on Javier and Urquidy, he did not have one. He said he met with both pitchers on Friday, wanted to give them their space while awaiting a second opinion. When asked if their UCLs are intact, which would require the Tommy John surgery, Espada didn't comment.
And
so
that to me was the giveaway. Like they're positive.
Dana's positive. Espada does not, I think, put things out there when he knows that there's some uncertainty. Dana Brown, he's not afraid of doing that.
Yeah, and if anything, too, it probably comes more of a question of you can in theory pitch around Tommy John. Like, there are certain UCL injuries where they're not as severe to where you don't need Tommy John, but most of the time, when you get that second opinion, it's because you don't like what the first one told you. You know, it's because they're telling you, hey, you probably are going to need this. They're not going to pitch for the Astros until 2026. Like, that's my guess. You look at Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia had Tommy John surgery in May. He is now
batting practice over the weekend.
And now he's in Florida.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's June. So we're into the month 13. So we're probably still 2 months away from this. Most times when you have Tommy John, you don't have them right away because there's so much inflammation that has to go down before they do the surgery. Think back to Justin Verlander. It took him months to have Tommy John.
Dr. Joe.
And remember what they did with JV? And that's what this situation reminds me of. Is with Justin Verlander, when he tore his torn UCL, Chandler Rome broke the news that he was going to have Tommy John surgery. The Astros dumped on the report. Everyone said it was wrong, and Chandler caught so much heat for it. I think that's where a lot of the vitriol towards Chandler comes from. And then what happened? 3 months later, Justin Verlander had Tommy John. So that's probably what they're going to try to do here, is at least with one of these guys, they're going to say, hey, we're going to wait it out. We're going to try to get him to rehab without Tommy John. And then they're both going to have it and not pitch for the Astros till 2026. But that's where Fromber makes this the Fromber thing makes it complicated, is if you now know you don't have Javier and Urquidy next year, it makes Fromber more complicated. But I would still trade him, because you're not going to re-sign him. I have no interest in re-signing him. You're not going to win the World Series this year. You might not make the playoffs. You're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. You should trade him.
Damn, Joe. You just hit me with the double whammy right to the tum-tum. And now
I want to be wrong, but like I don't right now, the way they're playing, you know, they're playing better, 15-14. Just keep doing that, Joe Spada.
You just don't believe.
I don't think I do anymore. And at this point, like, I don't think we're far from talking about Presley, Bregman, Fromber, Tucker being traded. Like,
but Jim Crane said that as long as he's here, the window will never close.
Feels kind of close to me.
All these things you're saying.
Temporarily closed.
Doubting our Astros.
They doubt themselves. Like, there are a lot of good things that happened this weekend.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown.
Look good. Third straight quality start.
He has been very, very good recently.
He struck out 7, walked just 2. He did allow the 2 home runs. But, I mean, Hunter Brown was not the reason he lost yesterday. It was Ryan Presley in relief, I think. Victor Caratini's playing well.
Yes.
And Yiner Diaz is not playing, which honestly is good. Jake Myers had another insane catch.
He's been awesome.
He seems very suicidal going up against the center field wall the way that he does, but hey.
Very little fear in that man.
Great catch. So there are positives.
Jordan didn't get hurt when he made his great catch yesterday.
Oh, that was a nice catch.
He slid into the wall. Didn't like seeing that. You get the heebie-jeebies when you see Jordan Alvarez do something like that.
The heebie-jeebies?
Yeah.
What is it, 1953?
Yeah, that's still, I think that's still a good reference.
the heebie-jeebies. Honestly, I have to look up the meaning of this.
Like the chills?
I get what you're saying. It's a condition of extreme nervousness caused by fear, worry, strain. The jitters. The willies.
And Yordan Alvarez sliding into the wall fits that perfectly.
Calling it a condition is a bit much.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think a doctor can say, yeah, looks like you got the heebie-jeebies.
It's disrespectful to those with actual mental health struggles.
Yeah. I feel like, is that what that's what Sean's going to say in July. He's going to be like, hey, man, I can't come into work for the next, like, 2 weeks. Why? I got the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Which is just going to be fake news for I got to go play a video game.
Well, build a program. That's what I'm going to be doing.
You're right. Yeah. He's got to recruit guys. He's got to give them hush money.
Well, day one, Donna wants to give you hush money, Joe. She says, hush your butt, Joe.
I know.
Because you're the one who is saying that the Astros can't do it.
They're just, it's their fault. I want them to go back to the World Series. Mm. I want them to go back to the ALCS.
Then why don't you believe in them going to the World Series? Why aren't you telling me they're going to go there?
Because 15-14 is good enough.
I mean, 15-14, if you multiply that by six, it would be like six games over 500, maybe 12. I don't know. Doing a little math here. But listen, bro, you can't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. Didn't Rudy Tatis say that one time?
That's true.
He did. And you're underestimating the heart of a two-time champion and a four-time American League champion and a seven-time appearing for the right to play for the American League championship champion.
Yep. I am. I am doing that.
You are the champion of killing the Astros early, much like Sean Mapes. Who's never done that? Me. Interesting. Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. Have you never done that? What was Friday? What were you wearing? Friday show?
Oh, the one where there's the funeral?
No. Oh, no. Thursday show.
Oh, the half Astros, half Thursday Mariners show. Yeah. The half Astros, half Mariners shirt. Yeah, but that's different because I was threatening to cheat on my significant other. That's how a real relationship works, guys. This is why I've never been in one.
You're threatening to cheat?
Because I've never threatened to cheat on the person I was dating. And if I had done that, I would probably be married by now because it seems like that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Right?
So you haven't cheated yet?
No.
In the Astros.
Well, I mean, there's a 2-year.
There's some DMs happening, I'm sure.
Definitely.
You're not cheating again?
I mean, I'm thinking about it.
You're still thinking about it?
Yeah, listen, they
No,
won.
I'm more surprised you haven't acted on it.
I'm trying to be chaste.
Okay.
Chaste? I don't know.
I think it's right.
Putting a chastity belt on myself right now. All right, it is. Come on, George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. He's Joe George, Sean Mapes by the glass. I am Paul Gallant. I mean, I suppose there's another positive for the Houston Astros coming up. Joe's going to explain why things need to get situated basically right now. Stick around, Gallant and George.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I think more people agree with Joe about the future of Framber Valdez here in Houston. Honestly, I think the majority of people would probably look at Framber Valdez and say to themselves, if he's pitching consistently and you only have him under contract for one more year through arbitration, what are you going to be able to get in return for him? Probably something that would bolster your farm system. Douglas Posada on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston comments, yes, trade Framber Valdez, not consistent at all, Joe.
Yeah, you look at the team, and Framber is going to get you, to me, would get you more than anyone else you're going to trade this year because he's going to be under contract for next year. So Bregman, who hasn't been performing as recently, he is not as going to get you as much of a return. Even like Otani, you always see like when Otani got moved, he got less because he was going to be a free agent. So there's no security. And then they didn't trade him. So Bregman and Presley, because of their performance and their contracts, will not get you as much. I don't believe they'll trade Kyle Tucker. So, but Framber, when
lefty,
you look at teams,
ground ball pitcher.
Exactly. Look at the Baltimore Orioles. Like they need starting pitching. The New York Yankees. Like it wouldn't shock me if they needed starting pitching.
I hate the idea of trading with the Yankees. Trading with the Orioles would make sense, given some ex-Astros working there. It sucks to actually think about it to the point where it might happen, but we're getting closer and closer to a point where they might have to do that. And Joe, before the show, you outlined why if it's ever going to happen, it has to happen this stretch.
Yeah, so like, so over the next five series, they don't play a single team that's above 500. Now, the Giants are, what, two games under? The Tigers are a game under 500. So you have the next five series, though, you do not play a single team that is above 500, including the Cardinals, who at this moment are 28 and 29. This is your opportunity because you're not playing the best of the best. You're not playing the Yankees and the Orioles, which is, the Orioles are at the end of this five-game stretch, this five-series stretch. This is your last chance where you are in the month of June, and if you don't win a lot of these games, you're going to be out of the playoff race. You're already pushing it right now, 7.5 games back of your division. So you're losing just time to gain ground. Like while, yes, you are, like, there is a lot of bait. There's 102 games left or whatever. There's, in theory, there's time still. But you need the Mariners to now falter as much as you have to win at the same time. So,
right. It's not like the Mariners are winning at an insane clip.
Yeah.
And you're on pace for 70 wins right now. The Mariners are winning 55% of their games. They're on pace for 90 wins this year. You have to win 64 of your remaining 102 games to get to 90. That's just 90. 90 is bare minimum, and that's to maybe win the AL West. That's not getting you a wild card this year with the Orioles on pace, where you play in a little bit, for 105 wins, and the Royals on pace for 96 wins. Sure, some of these teams are going to cool off, and potentially the Astros can heat up. But, you know, we talk about this sample size, and I think at the beginning of the year, a lot of the people who have been diehard Astro zealots who were saying, oh, wait until October, even you have to admit that they have not had a hot streak yet. So why are we saying that the hot streak is going to come? Six games in a row. That's the longest winning streak of the year. And they haven't won consecutive games since they did that. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I would say that between now, today, June 3rd, and June 20th, when this 15-game stretch, this next five series, where you play the Cardinals, the Angels, the Giants, the Tigers, and end with the White Sox before you play the Orioles, I think they need to, like, you want to make me a believer? 12 of 15.
12 of 15. That's an 80% winning clip.
They got to win 63 to get to 90.
Yeah.
And you, like, got to make it up when you're playing the bumps.
Exactly. Like, this is when, like, you play teams that are below 500 that are, in theory, you know, you're 15 and 14 in the last month. You're doing good. You need to do better than that. You have to win these games. Now, and it continues a little bit after that, too. So, like, your stretch between now and the All-Star break is really cake. You play the Orioles from the 21st to the 23rd, and then you play the Twins again in July, after the 4th, and you play the Rangers the last three games of the series.
Who you own this year of all teams.
But besides that, you are playing below 500 teams the entire time. You have the Rockies, you have the Mets, you have the Blue Jays, the Marlins. Like this is your – so I guess you could push it to July 14th, like before the All-Star break. But
no,
even then, like, it's probably too late. Like, you got to win 12 of the next. You got to win at least 10 games of the next 15.
I don't think what you ask for 12 is unreasonable to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I said 12 is a lot
because it feels impossible.
Because you're asking them to be consistent. That's what you can't win 12 out of 15 without a five game win streak somewhere in there.
Exactly, and. Let's go back to what we talked about at the very beginning of the show, because I think we got to continue to play this. Joe Espada, manager of the Astros on Friday, after that very disappointing loss to open up this series against Minnesota, had this to say about them wrapping up the month of May 15 and 14.
Is it disappointing that you had to go 15 and 14 during May?
No. Compared the way we start our season, I think we're heading in the right direction. I think we're playing really good baseball. You know, we're facing some – the last you know, 5 days, we're facing some pretty good pitching, and you know, we're getting after it. Our effort is there. Our approach is there. We just gotta continue to push. But, you know, I think we're playing better baseball than what we did a month ago.
That's true because April was so bad.
Yes.
But really good baseball, know, and to what, Joe, you're asking for, that does not sound like somebody who's telling them, hey, man, at some point you're going to have to win 12 out of 15. It feels like he's just sitting back and hoping it's all going to figure itself out.
Yeah, it just it sounds like to me that at the end of the year, they will miss the playoffs. They will have won 10 of 15 games, the last 15 games of the season. They will have missed the playoffs by 6 to 8 games. And Joe Espada will say, hey, we played really good baseball to end the season. We'll hope to sign Bregman. We'll regroup. We'll be back in 2025, and we'll be back on track. Like, that's what this is leading to. It's going to take these moral loser victories that this franchise is above. This is what I expected to hear from David Culley and Lovie Smith. This is what I expect to hear from Steven Silas. This is not what I expect to hear from the Houston Astros organization. They are above this.
I'm going to read some comments. The Twitch is lighting Joe Espada up. Not surprising, but I think deserve it, especially after that quote. Todd the Show said one thing I'm not going to repeat, but he's a kindergarten coach.
Mm-hmm.
Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey says he's talking out his ass. Ain't fooling many people out here, dude. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go to the podium and operate that way, and you want to be the pincushion for all of the shrapnel that's going the Astros players' way, fine. I really hope behind closed door that you're doing more than this. And it really doesn't feel like that's in Espada's personality. You know, he is. People used to say this about Dusty Baker. And for those who don't know, I'm wearing an In Dusty, I Trusty t-shirt today. Just a coincidence. Totally a coincidence that I wore this shirt today. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. People were acting like Dusty Baker running this team. I mean, he was basically sitting behind something that could be autopiloted.
Yeah.
I don't know how Dusty specifically would handle the situation, but I know that even with many questions that I had about Dusty Baker's daily decisions, I would feel pretty good about Dusty Baker finding a way to light a fire under this team's ass. Even if he is mellow by nature, we've seen Dusty Baker erupt like Mount Vesuvius in the middle of the ALCS, game number 5, right?
Yeah.
So this is something that Espada is going to have to deal with in a way that I don't think he's dealt with yet.
And well,
is he capable of it? I think every human being is capable of it, but he actually, I think, has to operate and react differently than the way that he is reacting. Because there's too much, everything's fine, nothing to see here, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of looking in the mirror from anyone in positions of power. And I'm sure these Astros players are doing it too. But look, it's hard to be this good for such a long period of time. At some point, you need somebody on your ass to motivate you. That's why coaches are a big part of sports.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Espada will. I'm not sure Joe Espada will be the manager of this team next year. I was going back, you know, just seeing the way they were struggling, and I found this story from from November last year, in which it talks about how Jim Crane, his goal was to make a splashy, big-name hire for their manager. And at the time, everyone's like, well, it's only Craig Counsell. And that was right when he got hired by the Cubs. So it's like, well, what's next? And then the follow-up to that was, but Dana Brown wants Joe Espada. And if this season does not turn around in the way we ask, and Jim Crane wanted a big-name manager, and Dana Brown is the one that chose Joe Espada, will Jim Crane fire them both and say, I don't care if Jose Abreu's bad. I told you to go get a big-name manager. You failed.
I got to say,
you're both out. Because this is what, like, I know Creighton would talk about this story. I think Nightingale as well, how part of the reason why James Click got fired was because Jim Crane told him to get Starling Marte, and he failed to do so. When Crane tells you to do something and you bomb, you get the blank.
But imagine if you fire both. What happens next? Who's going to want to come here?
Ausmus is coming. I'm telling it. Brad Ausmus is coming.
I almost dropped
the ball. He is the assistant. He is the bench coach for the New York Yankees right now. He will be the next manager of the Houston Astros. He interviewed to be the GM instead of James
what
Click
if he's
in 2020.
/general manager. A new title saying, for the Astros to, let's just say, streamline their payroll.
I was going
to
say part of the reason it's easy for Crane to fire Joe Spada, like Joe George here just pulled out, pointed out that it was Dana Brown's side. That's one of the ups, you know. We talk a lot about how there's too many cooks in the kitchen, how everyone has their own little pet project that they work on. Makes it easier for Jim Crane to be like, that didn't work because only one person hired him. So, yeah, we can just snip that one off. I was never a Joe Espada guy anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's go out and get, yeah, Brad Ausmus, Terry Francona. Is Lou Piniella still alive?
He's not.
Can we go?
Oh, actually, you know what? My bad.
Can we go get Joe Torre?
I don't know if Lou Piniella is
Jim Leland, can we hire Jim Leland?
He's getting honored by the Tigers.
Piniella is 80, but I don't believe he's in the best of health, the last I heard.
Okay.
When do we start getting
Is there
back,
some other big name?
When do we start getting bring back Dusty Tex?
Right now.
Oh, we haven't. Those haven't started.
They're typing in the phone number to text us right now.
Ozzy. Can we get Ozzy?
Would you come back if you're Dusty to this?
No.
Ozzy Guillen?
Oh, I'd love my personal friend.
I think Ozzy coming back would be awesome.
I love it. People think I don't like him because he cussed at me. No, I thought it was the funniest thing ever. Everyone also then got really mad at him for that. And I was like, well, he said nice try, kid, afterwards. I don't know. I thought it was – he was just being himself. I think he was just talking out of his ass in that magazine interview, and he's in the wrong city to talk about loving Fidel Castro. Miami is the, like, of,
last one.
Of every
last
city
one.
In the and United States.
Basically any other city.
You could have said that in Chicago. I think he'd have been okay. Send it to Miami. No, you effed dog.
Is Don Mattingly a manager anywhere? Could he maybe be in? I'm just trying to think of big name players that turned into David Ross.
Mattingly would have that Reggie Jackson connection.
So yeah.
I want to vomit.
Yeah, I think you get bonus points if you're either an Astro or a Yankee.
Yeah, Joe Girardi.
Joe Torre?
Joe Girardi. Carlos Beltran. He signing him worked last time. Implemented some changes that helped turn things around. You know, this season, we compared it on Saturday, B-Mac and I, to 2016 a lot, where it feels like they're going to spend most of the year trying to dig themselves out of the hole that they dug themselves, and they might be playing good baseball at the end of the season. It just doesn't matter because there are a million games under 500 in April.
So what you're saying is 2025 champs?
Exactly.
I mean...
Exactly. Just hire Carlos Beltran, like you signed him to be a DH and veteran locker room presence.
Bang those trash cans.
Yeah, figure something out.
All right. You know what? We'll keep this going. Push a 10-minute drill back to 145. Alternative options as manager for Joe Espada for your Houston Astros. Wrong answers encouraged. It is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie. And mybookie.ag. Guys, NBA Finals starts on Thursday. I know, it's way too far away. Way, way, way too far away. But in the meantime, you can go to mybookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. When you enter that promo code, guess what? You are going to get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000. What? You can play blackjack with it. You can play poker with it right away. Or you can gamble on whatever sport you want. We're not just talking about the NBA Finals. We're also talking about all the baseball games. You, of course, have the Houston Astros and St. Louis Cardinals tonight. Verlander on the hill against Kyle Gibson. The Astros 1.5 run favorites at home. Over-under for this game is 7.5. With the way the Astros offense has been going of late, maybe the under is your bet here. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. If you sign up with that code, you get to match that huge first deposit 100%. It's mybookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
If you've been listening to today's show, Joe George said that he's out on Joe Espada.
Come on!
I don't blame him for being out on Joe Espada after that quote on Friday, where he said he feels the Astros are playing really good baseball after a month where they went 15-14. I do think it's unfair to put this all on the manager.
I agree with that.
I think it's more about the players They can't hit with runners in scoring position, and the bullpen's not delivering. I don't know that getting rid of the manager is going to do anything, but clearly the text line, the Twitch, and our YouTube channel are into the idea of moving on from Joe Espada, if for nothing else than to perhaps just force some urgency on this team that doesn't really seem to have any at this moment in time.
This text here made me laugh from the 832. Joe Espada is like the Joel Osteen of managers. Nothing critical, just absent-minded, all rainbows and flowers from Chris and Humble. Thank you, Chris. That made me, I enjoyed that one.
When I first moved to Texas back in 2011, this was right before the Texans played the Titans, I used Texans-Titans to get out of going to the mega church with my mom and my stepfather. I'm very thankful that that excuse worked.
Yeah.
Because it did seem like they were going to force me to go.
Okay.
Seeing as they helped me move down from, at the time, Massachusetts here. I used that as a successful excuse once. My dad was in town. One of the few times he's actually come to visit me. We did not go to Joel Osteen's, even though he wanted to go when he was here. And I have also blocked Joel Osteen on Twitter. I've only blocked three people, and he is one of the three. He, Chris Broussard, and Phil Sims.
What a list.
Real quick, have you been to Joel Osteen's have you been to Lakewood Church? Yeah.
No.
Have you,
Paul?
Sean?
No.
I have not.
No. I have watched it on, because it's on TV on Sundays. I have watched it before.
Yeah, the only time I've watched it is when people, like my guy Salisbury, was out in front of Lakewood Church. Exposing the fact that he wouldn't open the doors during Harvey.
Yeah. Which, Joe Espada, give him credit, they opened their doors during the derecho.
That's true.
Great they call. Played a game. They lit people
great call.
In.
I walked from my place right by Joel Osteen's place as well during Hurricane Harvey because I was walking to work doing hurricane broadcast work at the old flagship back of the day.
Mm-hmm. Jiggle the handle to try to get in.
What?
Did you jiggle the handle on Lakewood?
Yeah, I tried to kick it down. Had a battering ram, and I led a bunch of people from one of the shelters.
Clearly,
the
we
door
know
door
like why he did it. There was like thousands of dollars of cash hidden in the bathroom wall. So,
what?
You haven't heard that story?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want big Joel Osteen megachurch coming.
No,
after
it's a real
me.
Story. A plumber was working on a toilet, and like they hit a wall, and there was like 10 G's in cash.
Coincidence? It wasn't there.
just behind a urinal.
That's a clerical error.
Yeah. Who hasn't misplaced cash in their wall?
It's been a while since they had to be up to code, so some things have fallen through the cracks.
You're right.
Literally.
I mean, who knows?
$10,000 fell through the cracks.
In defense of Joel Osteen, that could have been there when the Rockets were there.
Could Joel Osteen?
That's a fact. That could be Les Alexander.
That could be Charles Barkley's like gambling money. Like,
could Joel Osteen manage these Houston Astros? I don't know that there would be urgency here, but we are encouraging. We are encouraging wrong answers. What is Phil Garner up to on YouTube from Keith?
75 years young for Phil Garner, by the way.
Douglas Posada says Terry Francona, who we talked about. Brad Mills.
Yeah.
Ty Whittington. Ozzie Guillen. Bo Porter.
bring back the whole game.
He was here in town recently.
Joe Maddon.
Hard pass.
Why hard pass? He has
glasses.
Well,
you know what? Actually, you know what? Joe Maddon might really work with this front office.
Seems really smart.
Because he wrote an entire book about how much he hates analytics and he hates modern day GMs. So maybe him and Jeff Bagwell will have that in common. Huh? Yikes.
Big Poppy as the hitting coach?
Ooh.
Sure.
You tell him how to use steroids?
Hey. Hey. They were all doing it. Todd the Show commented, Martin Maldonado will be the next manager of the Astros with Michael Brantley as the bench coach.
God.
Honestly, I wouldn't have hated that going into this year.
You know what? Why not?
I wouldn't have hated that.
No, because, it can't be worse.
No, because is Maldi going to retire? He's playing too well.
I mean, why can't
he's playing
just,
too well to retire.
Why can't he just do both?
So in screenshot of his Martin Maldonado's stats from this year.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah, he's batting so low that if you blew that number into a breathalyzer, you would not get a DUI. He is batting under the legal limit.
Well, that's good that he's not batting over the legal limit. Oh, boy.
AJ Hinch,
Yeah.
He just got a contract extension.
See, there's a couple of managers that are being suggested, and they actually have jobs as things currently stand.
I could see AJ getting a promotion and coming back. He was a member of the front office for the Diamondbacks. There was a rumor floating around in the offseason before they hired Dana Brown that Jim Crane was going to try to hire AJ Hinch as the next GM.
I feel like I remember that as well. Here are some more answers that are wrong, which are encouraged right now. Gary Busey could motivate this crew.
Okay.
They could. They could. Oh, he had an acronym. I forgot what it was. I'll look it up.
His character, the version of Gary Busey that he plays in Entourage, which I believe is real Gary Busey, but maybe it's not.
I don't know, but I want it to be.
That would be a very interesting influence on this clubhouse.
The art scenes with Johnny are so funny.
They are very good. Another text. I think Jeff Bagwell thinks he can manage this team.
Now, I will say, you know, if you're looking for a B with some managerial experience who happened to just resign, Lance Berkman did just resign from HCU as the manager of their baseball team. So,
there we go.
Lance Berkman, next manager of the Astros, we told you first.
He just did the Windhorst thing.
What does that mean?
Windhorst thing, which for those who are unaware of it, online it's when you hold up two fingers and you say, I wonder what that means.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
That actually is pretty interesting because I feel like the Letterman jacket,
I mean, Bagwell,
Skull and Bones Society that runs the Astros would be 100% open to this.
If we go into next season and it's just like Bagwell, Biggio, and Berkman are just like running this thing. What a time to be alive.
At least they'll be fine. I have some Gary Busey-isms pulled up. They're all just words where each letter stands for a thing.
Okay.
So, truth, taking real understanding to heart.
Oh. I think he can lead the Astros.
Fear, false evidence appearing real. That would have been great in 2019 with the cheating evidence.
Would have been great after Joe Espada said that they played really good.
Oh, team, together, everyone achieves more. Is he like a high school football coach? And I don't know.
I think he has like a book.
Is he like doing this for free for like a consulting firm for high school football coaches? Oh, gone. Getting over negative energy.
These are great.
Yeah.
One of them's.
So there's one of these t-shirts.
There's ones that's four letters, three letters. And then he has one relationship. Oh, real excited love affair till it's over. Now sobriety hangs in peril.
That's a lengthy one.
So long. Or now. No other way.
Mm.
Hmm. These are great.
Feelings illuminated like magic. Film.
Mm. That one does not seem to make any sense.
This one's good. Hat. Hiding a toupee. Okay, these are less about baseball now. Oh, the last one. Sober. Son of a bitch. Everything's real.
Okay, so not all of Gary Busey's motivational sayings work.
But it was like 50% of them.
But some do. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on youtube.com/ESPN. Houston, we got Pena jumping aboard. Pena, what's up, dog?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, look. These guys are cooked, man. The season's over with. What are we looking at? Oh, let's get a wild card. They're gonna get outed in the wild card. These guys are done. As long as I don't know what's going on with Jim Crane. I don't know if he is taking all the orders like Jerry Jones. He's doing a bad job. He's listening to Bagwell. Man, it's over. These guys are cooked. It was a nice run. It was an awesome run. It was a great run. But these guys are cooked. They're not going to sign Kyle Tucker. They're not going to sign Valdez. It's over. It's over and done with. That's it, man. That's all I got to say. Hey, rest in peace, Larry Allen. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, Larry Allen passed away. Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman during their dynasty years. He was only 52. That was really sad to see this afternoon. But to bring it back here, man, everyone just killing them. I mean, everyone seems out today, and I mean, this is just a byproduct of losing 2 of 3 over the weekend and LaTroy Hawkins making us all fall asleep. This is one of those things where, in totality, I get why everybody's of the mindset of moving on from Joe Espada because I think everyone wants a head on a spike right now. I don't think that's necessarily going to make any changes happen, but
They're making it more and more difficult for themselves right now. And does this wake them up? I don't know, but something's got to wake them up. A manager firing?
Maybe I mean, if they're not up yet, then they're never waking up. Hmm. They're not waking up in 2024 if they're not up yet. They know. They know what's going on. Like Altuve and these guys, they know. The problem is, like, they seem like they don't have answers.
Yeah.
And I don't think they think that firing Joe Espada solves these problems.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't solve any problem. It's just for the people that want flesh. It gives you a little bit of flesh.
Yeah.
But then you're going to want more flesh. If you give a mouse a severed head on a spike, it's going to ask for more.
I remember reading that book.
Great children's book.
They're more likely to do what the Mariners just did, that they'll fire their hitting coach first or a pitching coach first or both their pitching coaches.
But the hitting numbers, top of the league.
Yeah, starting pitching numbers of late, top of the league.
Yeah. Who do you fire?
Can't blame it all on Ryan Presley.
Now, there's two pitching coaches. Does one of them work more with the bullpen?
Mm.
That one is the one. Mm.
He's on thin ice.
That's a smaller head on the spike, though.
Yeah. I think Astros fans would love it at this
just
point.
Just anyone?
Yeah.
They're bloodthirsty.
They should
right
just
now.
Make someone else. Just fire one of the grounds crew members.
That would suck, though. No, don't fire the grounds crew members.
Hire him back. Or
fire the person who's tossing peanuts in section 112. Like,
get him out of here.
No. We can't do that. Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nick Caserio looking better and better by the day. Quick 10-minute drill next.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Last week we talked about the contract that Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans, gave to Nico Collins. It's a deal that ages very well and pays Nico Collins on an annual basis top 10 wide receiver money. But it paled in comparison, Joe, to a contract that Jaylen Waddle got not too long later. But then today happened.
Whew.
I mean, I'm glad the Houston Texans took care of that Nico Collins contract because the Vikings signed Justin Jefferson to a four-year, $140 million contract extension with $110 million guaranteed, making him the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Man.
Not talking about a tackle. Not talking about a pass rusher or defensive lineman. We're talking about a wide receiver who might touch the ball 12 to 13 times a game. And this guy is now the highest paid non-quarterback in the game. Justin Jefferson is really, really good, Joe George. This is a move that I think has a little bit of a loser tax attached to it because the Vikings are in a spot right now where who knows who's even going to be throwing the football to Justin Jefferson this coming season. But it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And if you look at his stats, like CeeDee Lamb is pretty on par with Justin Jefferson. You have Ja'Marr Chase is coming up. Drew Rosenhaus was doing an interview today talking about Tyreek Hill. Like, you have some big name wide receivers right there that are all about to get paid, too. Man, if he's getting 35 a year, $140 million, $110 of it guaranteed, Ja'Marr Chase is for sure getting more than. I think CeeDee Lamb's going to get more than that.
I don't know. I don't think.
Or get close.
I don't think that the Cowboys would be able to do that, just given their current situation.
So does he get it elsewhere?
Because, I mean, the Cowboys are still talking about keeping Dak Prescott past 2024. He might get it elsewhere, but I think with Jefferson, I would sign off on it.
Yeah.
With Ja'Marr Chase, who you mentioned a little bit before, some injury issues. I'm not sure I would do it with Ja'Marr Chase. Jefferson, I actually can agree on him being the consensus number one wide receiver in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
We have seen some games that he's entirely taken over. I would go back to that comeback that the Vikings had and that really fun Bills-Vikings game as well. Some of the catches that he was making in big-time situations. You're like, how the hell did he catch that?
Yeah. And
I don't know why I repeated the hell, but you get what I'm saying.
And if there was a contract where it's not just the next guy beats it, this is probably it. If there's finally going to be the trend that stops it of just the next guy gets paid more, this contract might be high enough.
You would think, but then there's Tyreek Hill's contract who is up, and I think Tyreek Hill's going to look at this and say, I'm still the fastest player in sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hill's probably the only. Like, I don't think the other two guys, Chase or Lamb,
really?
I don't think they beat it.
If Chase wasn't on the Bengals.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
But Wouldn't you think that they're more likely to trade him?
Who, the Bengals?
Yeah.
They're more likely to trade T. Higgins.
T. Higgins, yes. Jamar Chase, I think they'll try to keep.
You just pay Burrow and Chase, keep those two guys together, and figure it out.
Yeah. I think one of them will beat it. Between Lamb and Chase, one of them will get a bigger contract than Jefferson.
Well, they're also just, like Paul said, like Jefferson is, or should be, consensus number one.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a pretty, at least, like, he's in a tier of his own. And then the next tier is those two guys, probably. Maybe if you want to throw someone else in, I'm forgetting. Maybe Tyree. But those are the only guys that could break it this offseason. If not, we're talking about waiting. And that's where part of it, cap goes up, then it becomes easier because it's the same percent as that. It's just a bigger number.
Yeah, but, I mean, look. Nico Collins was the seventh highest paid wide receiver going into 2025.
He's already ninth.
And now he's ninth. And he will be way outside the top 10.
He'll be 11th, 12th by the time.
Because at a minimum, Lamb, Chase, and Tyree are all going to make more than him.
San Francisco guys, too.
Ayuk. Like, this contract's going to look really good for Nico very quickly for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it already does. I mean,
yeah.
It already looks good, but it's going to look even better in relation to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because you can start playing the game of, would you rather have Nico at his number or enter NFL player ahead of them at their number?
One of the things coming out of these deals that we're seeing wide receivers get, I understand that, yeah, if you've got a great wide receiver, you want to keep that guy around. And this obviously backfired for New England at the tail end of Tom Brady's time there. But you're paying a lot of money to a guy who might be getting the football max, thrown his way 15 to 16 times a game or something like that. It's interesting. The way the league is going, I get it. It's a passing league, and some of these wide receivers are great. But I do think that this is one of those positions where you better have the number one guy to pay a guy like this. And I think a lot of other teams that after this Justin Jefferson deal just happened, I think that they are going to perhaps shoot themselves in the foot by extending a guy because they're going to be locking up a lot of money to one player.
And there's some of it where Justin Jefferson gets this contract. Who's the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings?
McCarthy. Maybe.
It's going to be a rookie.
Yeah.
And who's going to be, you know, when Tyreek got traded to the Dolphins, it was Tua on a rookie contract. So, and Collins getting his deal. Who's the quarterback? CJ Stroud on a rookie deal contract. So there is something where maybe it becomes a thing of the teams that pay these guys this top of the line money are the teams that are getting a bargain at quarterback, and so that's how they can justify where it works itself out in the end. And I mean, you saw it with Tua, you saw it with quarterbacks all across the league. A lot of teams have done this. When you give your young quarterback an awesome wide receiver, he's going to play better. So you're actually maximizing what you're getting out of these young
guys. The counter is always, if you name a great wide receiver, most of the times the Super Bowl wins next to that name is zero.
Yeah.
And you have Jerry Rice obviously has a bunch. Tyreek has one. But Jefferson, Chase, T.O., Randy Moss, like the best receivers of our lifetime, 95% of them don't have Super Bowls.
Some of those guys were real close. Brady, T.O.,
They get there.
A.J. Brown has gotten there. Jamar Chase has gotten there. But have they won? Most of the time the answer is no. And it's like this weird correlation. Like, is it really mean something? Or, like, I don't blame Randy Moss for not having a Super Bowl. He was on one of the greatest teams of our lifetime, if not the greatest team of our lifetime. And they just didn't win.
Some of it is losing a close game. You know, like, they lost a close game.
Yeah.
And, you know, but on the other hand, you have the Rams. And, I mean, that Rams-Bengals Super Bowl, either way, an awesome wide receiver is going to win it. But the Rams really won it because when they needed a drive at the end of the game, Matt Stafford just threw it to Cooper Kupp all the way down the field.
That wasn't nice.
What?
Bringing up the past.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. The 18-1 thing.
Thing?
At least you have an 18-1 thing to be, you know.
That's true. You had 15-1. But you guys actually won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, I was also not alive.
You could claim it.
I was -7.
Oh, you had the Devin Hester return. In the
You're right.
You did have that.
I've got that one moment.
I've had they're up big against the Chiefs one time in the playoffs. And they would have beat the Ravens in the divisional round, and if Matt Schaub was healthy, that's what I have to hang my hat on.
Gallant and George on a Monday. Sean Mabes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant. Yep, that season happened. Hey, a lot of bad vibes with the Houston Astros right now, having lost two of three. I am curious as to how people would describe them as it relates to the postseason. Smoked? Cooked? Also, we might need to give you a deep steel blue pill. Stick around, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.